Welcome back at the Artist Coaching Podcast with the main host, Jay Delay.
Hello.
Oh, the delay is gone. It seems gone. I don't know. Jay, where are you?
I'm in bed in Vietnam, in my hotel room. Jay Hardway, it's middle live of the on night tour. No, it's 8 p.m.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's later. Okay, how has it been so far?
Good. I had a show in Manila in the Philippines. And then I traveled to Vietnam. And I'm doing some work here from my hotel. I'm playing some golf. And I'm eating some food. That's about all. I worked out today. I went to the gym. That's about I'm trying to have a normal life. But I'm basically stuck to my hotel room a lot. But yeah, just working.
But don't you want to visit the city or something?
Tomorrow I will visit the city with the people from the club that I'm playing on Friday. So I'm going to do some exploring and some eating mostly, I think. Yeah, so I'm excited for that. And maybe play some more golf. Alone? Yep. And I have a local tour manager that I know from another show in Vietnam. that person I will see on Friday. And the people from the club are here to assist me if I need anything. So it's actually quite nice.
Nice. Good to
and
hear.
Where are you guys?
Manila.
Ralph, how are you? I'm in,
Manila was
in
good.
The piggery.
Manila was very good. A fun show. I don't know if you've ever been to the Philippines, but it's really nice. No. All the people speak English. They're very friendly. And I should have stayed in Manila a few more days because the weather there was way better than here. In Vietnam, it's raining a little bit. But yeah, what are you going to do?
Hey, you're used to the rain, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Ralph, how are
and you?
I'm good. Oh, Jobke wants to say something. Mr. Delay.
No, Jay
Delay.
Ask,
you can
you,
speak
how
now.
How are you guys? How are you? Where are you? What are you doing? How's your life going? How's your Bitcoin decreased
in now,
value?
No surprise here. I'm in my studio. As I am always. I actually just sent out a story. I have real FOMO. I see people in Miami. I see people on Tomorrowland Winter. And
it's this weekend, right?
Good old Ralph is... Oh, mate. Did you hear that sound?
Yeah.
Fruity Loops.
Fruity is done exporting a track. I just bounced a master, which I have to check after the podcast. But So I'm always here. Actually, my life is boring. And I love it.
Well. Boring is good. That's my mantra.
I love it, but I also have FOMO, you said.
Yeah, of
How
course.
Does that work?
Hello.
You're not playing there. Is Marlon playing at Tomorrowland Winter?
No. He's now in Cancun, and he's leaving for Miami, I think, today. And then he plays a few shows there. And then he goes on, I don't know where. And I'll see him when I see him.
I don't know where and I don't care.
Yeah. I don't care. I just got a... Oh, that's Icona Pop, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact. Yeah. I saw Icona Pop the first time in Miami at a pool party with my friends.
And what were they wearing?
Not a lot because it was a pool party.
Nice.
Yeah. But I think that was the year when they... it was the year when Chainsmokers had selfie. Like everyone in Miami walked around with those... Like selfie boards and stuff.
Ah, that's cool. That's way back.
Dude, I'm old.
No, I just, we had a demo or a top line mail. And I saw Icona Pop also delivering a cool top line.
That vocal is still being used a lot, right?
Oh, man, it's amazing. Yeah.
Great song. Okay.
But yeah.
What can you do, right?
What can you do?
Ralph tagged me. I think it was you, Ralph. Or was it Marlon who tagged me on Twitter last week?
This guy.
I think Marlon doesn't me on know Twitter. Who you are, Joey.
Probably. And he doesn't care.
He always goes like, Joey? Oh, yeah.
No. It goes like this. Joey? Yeah, and then Ralph says, yeah, but artist coaching? That's what Marlon does.
Podcast?
Yeah.
Studio?
But, hey, we should have Marlon on the podcast, though. That would be fun.
We should have Marlon on the podcast. Yeah.
We can arrange that, right?
Yeah. I think so. I'll ask him. But then he will go like, podcast? What? Joey? Jay Hardway?
Yeah, Jay Hardway? Jay Hard who?
Yeah. Yeah, we
Ralph,
can do that.
Who?
It's a nice
Oh,
one.
So you're the guy who's making the music.
You're the other half of Bass Checkers.
Yeah. But yeah, Ralph, you tagged me last week in a news item from Dutch Dutch news outlet,
yeah,
which was about a famous rapper in the Netherlands, at least.
Ronnie Flex.
Who is protesting.
At war.
Who's setting up a protest against his record label, Top Notch. So he released a few songs on a big label, a big rap label in the Netherlands called Top Notch. And he's trying to engage his followers to protest against this label because he claims to have signed a deal at a way too young age. Gave away all of his rights, a lot of royalties, like the famous mistakes a lot of the artists make. And
are they mistakes? That's the question.
That's the question, because I believe that the Martin Garrix lawsuit was also about the same topic, right? The fact
kinda,
that
about the kinda. Ownership, but
although, also the fact that they were too young to sign.
To be honest, I haven't read the article because it was behind a paywall and I don't pay for shit.
It's not behind a paywall. NOS is like public.
It wasn't, no, it was free.
It's public.
You're fucking bullshit.
Then I probably clicked on the Eindhoven's Dagblad or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what.
Just headline reader. Yeah, that's
Oh, man. Guilty. No, but I actually read through the comments and apparently he got like only 8% of the royalties, which was later then bumped up until 15%, which is insanely low. That's like really criminal. And I know for a fact that a lot of producers who operate in the Dutch hip hop scene, the percentages are really low. A good friend of mine worked on a big track. We all know him. We're not going to name him. And he got promised, I kid you not, 0.5% for delivering the beat.
Yep,
what
I know.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's sick.
Hey, and he had to wage a war against him to get to 5%, which is still fucking low.
And was that with like a flat fee up front? Or just
not even, no, not even, no, no, no. Maybe a recoupable sum of €250. And it was for a big artist. Yeah, it's insane. And I think I actually like what Ronnie Flex is now doing. But the hard part is, which here is, I think it's a different ball game than with us in the dance industry, because it's kind of a known fact that in the Dutch hip hop industry, the percentages are really low. So if you don't accept how that industry works, you're not going to work there. So that's kind of a dilemma, you know?
Yeah, but isn't that the same in the dance industry? As in, if you don't want to sign a deal where you sign away 70% of your royalties, you're kind of fucked. Because there's not a lot of
labels. Okay, but still then you can bump it up until 35-40%, which is, I mean, we're talking here a bump up from 8 until 15. And Ronnie Flex is one of the biggest. I actually think he's also maybe the best because
he's
really good.
What I'm wondering with that percentage, because it's about his album where he also does collaborations with Lil Kleine, for example. If Lil Kleine also takes 15% and he has 15%, it's only 70% for the label, which makes it the same as we have.
I don't know, because that's about Drank and Drugs, which was a big, big hit.
Yeah.
I don't know where the how the division of royalties went there. But if it's a 50-50 in between Lil Kleine and Ronnie Flex, then 8 and 8 would equal 16, which is still horrendous. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, the thing is, are you going to try to change the industry when you're big enough or not? Because that's also like a hot topic. We have seen lawsuits. You also mentioned Garrix, but nothing much really changed.
True. Do you think it's ever going to change?
No.
No, but that's the thing. Like, if you've seen the mini series about Spotify on Netflix, which is called The Playlist, super interesting to watch. And what you see there is the fight that Spotify had to go through against the major labels, so Sony, Universal, blah blah blah, to get them on board to, yeah, get the rights to stream their music on the platform. If you look at how big of a fight that has been and how long it took them and how much money it cost before it actually started to happen, I don't really see a way of how an artist can fight against this, except from, let's go, self-releasing.
Hey!
Let's see how long it takes until Jay goes left. He's pretty much frozen in my screen.
I don't. No, I'm not frozen. It's not saying a lot.
Oh, no, he goes nodding. What the fuck?
I think. Oh, that is a big delay.
How long is the delay with him?
Holy shit.
Jay, hello. Are you there?
Yeah. This is funny. I'm reacting in real time, I think. But probably it's coming way later. I don't know. I'm just waiting now.
Dude, the delay is insane. It's like a minute.
No way.
These 30 seconds. Oh, that was funny.
So I'm just.
Oh, no, this is
everything
going
I say
swell,
now,
man.
You're
going
to react later to me. Amazing.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Oh.
I actually was like, wow, Jobke never listened that good. It was like really like, wow, oh yeah, interesting, man.
I was quiet for a long time, but I guess the delay also.
Oh,
is...
now it's catching up. Yeah. Anyway,
so maybe I should talk more so that it
I do believe that
I
that's
think it's for the best that Jobke stay out of everything. Just look pretty and sit still.
I do look pretty though. Look, amazing.
Oh man.
This is going to be a real awkward conversation.
Yeah.
But anyway, I
think it's
think
Riverside.
The only way as an artist to fight against this is to just exit the industry and do it yourself, you know, because there's no really other way around this.
Yeah, there's no way around it, but you also can just play the game because...
Should I join on WhatsApp call or something?
No, stop talking.
Can I mute him? Is that possible? Yeah, I can mute him. Yeah, he's muted.
That's better, man.
Okay, let's go.
Finally. Oh, he's gone.
He's gone, yeah.
Maybe for the best.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But... yeah, you should also just play the game and try to make the most of it. But I think it would be helpful to he's saying fuck him.
He's calling.
I think it's just for the best also to let people know which percentages are out there. And to be honest, if you're starting out and you can get a 30% deal of royalty, never sign away your tracks for indefinite times, max 15 years, and then it's okay. Then you will have a lot of stupid recoupables and probably won't make a buck on your first release or the second, but it's also a stepping up, a stepstone for your career. Yeah. So
at that point, it's more like an investment. That's a way to cope with it, to live with it. Jay keeps calling me, man.
Wait. Yeah.
Jay. Hey. No.
No.
Maybe says, without video. Maybe without video you can join. No, this... Yeah, I don't know. This...
You know, it's the uploading and everything at the same time. It's quite heavy on your...
I think so too.
Infrastructure.
Yeah, let's try audio. See you there, okay? My... Yeah, he's going to try audio.
Okay. To be honest, we're the most smooth, well-operated podcast ever. Yeah, so make sure to give us a thumbs up and leave a comment right here. And also sign up for this podcast.
Do your thing.
But, yeah.
No, but you're right, you know, like...
Are there actually agencies who can help you with or just guide people and
but negotiation you mean?
Yeah, or where people can just ask for a little bit of money, like, hey, is this okay to sign? Is this but also the question we had last time, you don't want to jeopardize your release which you were craving and working towards.
Well, I do know that there have been a few managers which kind of transitioned during COVID because there was nothing to manage. They kind of transitioned into a more freelance kind of management where you could say like, hey, I have this deal that I want to have checked, but I don't want to have a lawyer or whatever. I just want to have someone with experience looking at it. And they could pay like, let's say $50 for someone to go over the agreement. Yeah.
To be honest, I don't mind. I will blank out some stuff for when it gets, I don't mind one of our contracts being uploaded on the Discord. But I will still blank out all the names and it
will
be
ours. So you can go over it, you mean? so that we can go over it, you mean?
Well, so people can know, okay, what's reasonable to sign? What do other artists sign? I mean, we're all about transparency and we have no secrets, although sure. We do have some secrets. But yeah, you don't want it to get shared all over the internet, you know? And but then people who know, I mean, it's a circle of trust right here.
But you don't have to like upload the full file. You can also upload like the bullet points and say like, hey, this is the terms that we got and this is what we agreed with. So,
Like an agreement.
Hey guys, just checking my delay. And can you say hello if this arrives?
Hello.
Oh, that's pretty fast.
Yeah, that's pretty fast. Okay.
Maybe better then. So this should work. We're still in the contract talk, I guess.
Yeah, yes. We're kind of closing that off.
Okay.
We agreed that you and I, but we blank out all the names. We just do some bullet points. We will share some of the stuff we sign.
Maybe. I just want to advise everyone that's starting out because I heard something you guys say about managers checking contracts. That's all good, but there's also lawyers out there who actually, for the same amount or maybe €100, can check one-off time a contract, which is what I did in the beginning. Just had a lawyer that is affiliated to the music industry, go through one contract and check, hey, is there something I should worry about or change in this contract?
Sounds like a business model to me, you know, like just
What did you sign? Did you sign it away for indefinite? Because I did.
Well, that's the thing with some tracks, yes, but that's the very beginning. And then it was kind of like industry standard.
Like
and I
Wizard?
Think that's what, no, that's not, that's all like rolled back, but that's on, like, that's not indefinite signed.
Okay.
But that's also, I think that's kind of maybe what Ronnie Flex is trying to change in the industry. It's like he wants some kind of like awareness amongst young kids and who are starting out that like, hey, this isn't normal. But then again, labels are always going to do this. And especially the big ones, because they don't need the new artist who isn't big yet. So it's kind of a thing where you got to hate the game and not the player. So I'm not sure if his yeah, Ronny Flex is, his protest is going to do much. But
yeah, me too. I think it's a nice
noble.
Gesture.
It's noble.
It's a nice gesture.
Yeah, you know, shouldn't if I would be one of the label ads and I would have a gazillion dollars, why would I still be so indifferent about the well-being of the artists? Why don't you just give
because
them
you want to be
they...
long-term, right? You want to be thinking long-term here, not short-term. That's what
isn't
I think.
Isn't long-term to have a good relationship with the artists? I actually like what he's doing. He's also saying, like, be wary of that. Of course, it's a stepping stone, but it's also, hey, it's also so unfair, you know? All the label bosses, I mean, there's a lot of label bosses who are filthy rich.
No, but I think I'm commenting on the wrong thing. As in, I agree that the label should think more long-term and not...
Yeah. They should also be there to make the change.
Label heads are in it for the money and usually I think even hired now to maximize the amount of money that comes in. And that's where you can think, yes, they have a lot of money, but what is enough, first of all, for someone? Because in a way, we have a lot of money, but then we look up and, oh, we don't have a lot of money. So there's always more. And it's like the system of a label now, like Universal, their system is collect money. And then there's a new CEO who just follows the system of that company. It's a big thing where that's so hard to change once that it's like nestled in the company's DNA, basically.
But aren't the majors also the new gatekeepers on, let's say, a Spotify or so? Don't they control the whole stuff?
Yeah, because if Sony decides to pull away their rights tomorrow, Spotify is a problem, I would say.
Yeah,
because that's also I saw a tweet by Sam Veld, or if it's Sam Veld. And it's a good one. He says, I love how music production has been democratized. The days of needing a fancy studio or big label to create chart-topping hits are over. Now you only need determination and a laptop. Well, not totally true, but it's nice that you, with low means, you can make a cool track. The gatekeepers are losing control, he says then, which I disagree with. There's just new gatekeepers. Welcome to the future where music belongs to everyone. Meh. But it's also, I saw that tweet and then last night I read the Ronny Flex thing
headline.
And yeah, the what?
The Ronny Flex headline.
I read the headline and the comments, but the thing is, there will always be gatekeepers of some kind, I think. Yeah. It's kind of a hard struggle to get the editorials on Spotify also. If you don't pay, you won't get them that easily. It's not about good music only.
True. And in a perfect world, the gatekeepers will disappear. But I do agree with you that I don't see that happen.
World. No, I don't see it happen either.
No. I do see them pivoting in... I do believe in the fact that if... we as a community, let's say, let all artists say we're done, you know, this is too far, then I do agree that they could bring it back to, let's say, a normal, let's say 50-50 or whatever, like back to a more fair kind of deal. But I don't see a world happening
that's in a real utopia. I think what's the problem is if there's a shit deal, there's some artists that say I'm not gonna take that deal, but there's always someone
exactly.
who will take that deal. And it's like there's even ghost producers for big labels who get like a small amount for music that's then brought out under a fake artist name, like basically a bot who is an artist just to generate money for like let's say Sony or whoever, so they have a bigger piece of the a bit bigger chunk of the pie of money that's generated. And I mean they can find producers for that so easily because there's always someone that's like, hey, I need to pay rent and I'm a good producer, I'll take $1,000. that's also the problem. And you see that, for example, also with, I think in every profession, but like if I speak for the DJ scene, there's always a DJ that will take a fee that's way too low and not sustainable for like a touring artist. But there will always be a guy who will take it. So that's just difficult for, you see that
competition,
now with graphic design, there's a big problem with AI because that's so easily changed. You don't need to be a great designer anymore to have a cool idea and let AI design something for you. So
yeah, text writers, same problem.
Text writers, same thing. Yeah.
You always want to put yourself in a position where you can afford yourself to say no. And it's just hard to get yourself in that position because it takes a lot of time to build that respect or credibility. Or like if you look at your careers, for example, it's 15 years in the making, you know, like, and still you might not be able to do that at some point. You know, maybe at some labels you could say fuck you, but you still need the bigger labels as well every now and then. So maybe a Chesto, a David Guetta, like that's the type of artist that could say fuck you, but still, I don't know. It's tough.
It's tough, yeah. And you're not going to change it. And also, so for everybody who's listening and on the verge of releasing somewhere on a bigger label or small label, I don't care. But you have to see what can they offer you and is it worth it? And will it help my career to a next level? And then just take it as it is and try to optimize it. But yeah, we all have to be realistic and don't sign deals of 8% like Ronnie Flex did. That's just horrendous. But yeah, try to.
I think as an artist, you always want to try to make your main income by performing. So make yourself stand out in that department as well. Make sure that you have your own music that you can DJ. Make sure you are a good DJ or performer. Also for rappers, of course. And that's going to set you apart there. And that's where you can make, I think that's always been a bit of like the unwritten rule. As a DJ, you release music to have bookings. And with the bookings, you make your main income. Because I do think it's really difficult to say that my music is my only income. That's just
a hard path. Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, I have a question. Oh, Ralph's mic popped out. Yeah. Your mic popped out.
Damn.
This is going perfect.
Yeah, anyway. This is best podcast ever.
Yeah.
So anyway, I have known that one. Am I can you hear me
that one? Yeah. Okay, I got a few questions in the community. And the first one is from Josh Letitier. I think Jay also talked to him. He's an artist coaching client. He's doing really well with his career. And right now he recently just signed, let's say, what's his question? I'm in the process of lining up some international gigs and wanted to ask the best approach for negotiating booking fees since I don't have a booking agent yet.
Ooh.
That's a difficult one. It's very hard,
why
I think.
Struggling.
Yeah, it's very hard for an artist in general, but also beginning artists to judge how much you should make. I think that takes experience and you need to have seen a lot of deals for your fee before you can understand, I am worth this much. It's just very hard to judge even for me. If I look at his career, how much would he,
what would be a good approach? As in he's a first time traveling artist, let's say. I know he had a gig in Ministry of Sound a couple of times in London. His music is doing really well on Spotify and now he signed a big deal with a big main label. So what would you say is a nice approach? Like should he play for free, for example, and only do flights or travel?
No, definitely not, but you should always ask for a budget. Yeah, see what the capacity is of the club and what the ticket price will be. And then you can, what kind of percentage should be yours as an artist then? I mean, you're all doing it together with the promoter and everybody. So, I mean, for free, that's, yeah, you don't work for free, except if you can play Ultra main stage. They'll just say,
I think it's also
to account for yourself, yeah.
Also important to have a minimum in mind. So, like, let's say, hey, for under €1,000, I will not do a DJ gig. Or make it lower, make it higher, whatever. But then you can
If it's like the village next to yours, then you're fine. You just go on your bicycle.
But have a minimum in mind for a gig. So you're like, hey, I'm going to play that festival that's next to my house conveniently. So I can roll out of bed and go. And I want a minimum of €200 for it. Because then in the negotiation process, if they really only want to offer you 50, because for yourself, you've already said, hey, that's going to be the minimum. You don't have to feel bad about saying no. And that's also a thing. It's some gigs you shouldn't do. And you should not feel bad about this and trust that there will be other gigs. The way I mean this is like some gigs, if they're very good for your profile, yes, for less money, it's fine. And for free, like Ralph said, Tomorrowland main stage for free is still a very good deal. But if it like takes you a lot of effort and it takes 3 days of your time and you only get $50, then maybe it's better to spend that time working on music and just, prepare for the
next
thing.
Even when that 3 day travel gig could give you some great content, for example, would you still say it's smart?
That could be part of the leverage, I'd say, for, I can get great content out of it. So I don't mind if I lose money because I basically I'm investing that money into content. That's
but
definitely
also
a
good way to open to ask a promoter, what's your budget? Just ask them. Will lowball you, some will won't, but it's a nice one to open up, and they might even surprise you, and then take it as a starting point from there. And of course, what I said before is pretty important: entrance fee, capacity, that kind of stuff. Is there tables or not? Don't overshoot your hand also. But yeah, it's a good starting point. Just ask, what's your budget?
Great. Another question from King Cole is, I've always been inspired by tracks like Memories by Bassjackers and Stardust from Jay Hardway. But in 2024, it seems like labels aren't releasing that style anymore. If Ralph and Jay were to submit these kind of tracks today, do they think they would get signed, or would A&Rs consider them outdated and not sign them?
Nobody would care.
The second one. Because I also have some tracks that I've already talked to labels about.
Ralph says it doesn't matter, and Jay says it does matter, right?
Yeah, I think labels right now are not interested in that style of music. That's what I see here and there. Because a lot of labels follow trends, which makes sense. And they're always looking for the new stuff. So if you have tracks like that, then they will be like, yeah, it sounds good, but that's already been done. So that's not interesting. That's always going to be happening. But I am mostly focused on not making a style of music, but just making music that I love. And then hopefully labels will like it. So I'm not really looking at, oh, this is a track that sounds like 2016, or I'm just making music that I think is awesome. And then I hope a label will sign it. That's my approach, which can be difficult, especially right now. I think there's a lot of changes, but I'm kind of taking in my own time to adjust, I guess.
Okay. And Ralph?
Yeah, like I said, nobody would care about those tracks right now. There's no public for it. To be honest, also, if I personally, I like how stuff has evolved, all the new techniques. And for me, it would sound outdated as well. I do like a new approach to old stuff, but it has to be new. And that kind of stuff for now doesn't work. And there's just no interest in it. I mean, there's always interest from some, but yeah, you won't get a lot of streams. You won't get people dancing on a dance floor. But then again, if you really like it, make it and play with it. But yeah, don't be surprised if there's no interest in it from labels or any other artist for that matter.
He also came with a follow-up question, which I can answer to, as in he says, if an unknown producer would make this style and wanted to get signed on a big label, would you advise changing to a more current style? And that's a mistake that I see with many artists, and I think that's what we talked about more often as well. It's about consistency of your genre and of the thing you do. Like, as an artist, as Jay also said, like, you want to stick to what you want to make. If you keep changing trends, you're always second, you're always third, you're always fourth, because it's always someone else who creates the trend. And you can implement trends like you do, Ralph. Like, sometimes you implement things that are happening and you implement them into your own sound, but don't completely diverge into a whole different genre every time, because that doesn't give your audience an idea of who you are and what you make. You have no identity as an artist, and that's why it's so important to stick with what you want to make. And sure, you can evolve, and sure, you can experiment along the way, but the fundament of everything should remain the same.
No, and the fundament, to be honest, should always be fun. If you think it's fun to make, make it. And you shouldn't be too caught up in all the results, streams, or will people like it, or labels. That's not the goal. It's the goal to envision a live set or music, how you see it, and stick to that. But you will always evolve. I mean, will you be that guy that 2 years from now still walking around with the skinny jeans? Probably not. You know, we all get it just evolves, and there's also no use to fighting that. And there's a lot of bandwagons passing by every year, and some of the bandwagons you jump upon, and some of them don't. They have to be a bit true to your nature as to who you are or what you like to do. And for us, the whole techno train actually fitted really well. And so for me, it was kind of a relief. I like it a lot. I like making the productions now. So why the fuck not?
Yeah, but like the other style of, what's the Sam Veld style? How's it called again? Like,
right, the Kygo? It was Tropical House, yeah. Tropical. I mean, like Kygo Tropical started it, and then you saw all the rest of the guys jumping up on it.
Yeah, but Tropical would not fit your brand, I would say.
No, definitely not. I don't even like it now.
Don't. So even if that trend comes by, you should still decide for yourself, like, hey, can I work with this? Like, is there a way how I can combine those two things, or is it a trend that I should just ignore?
I always liked when Yellow Claw did the trap thing. That was kind of suitable, you know. And we also, kind of did some dance with it.
I think.
What did you want to say?
Labels always say, or it looks like they're looking for, hey, this style because this is popular now. But what they're really looking for is the sound of tomorrow, or let's say the next big thing, which no one knows what that's going to be, which is very exciting for us as producers, because you can make something that might be the next big thing. And labels also don't know they're really looking for it until they hear something that's like, whoa, this is cool. This is something we've never heard before, which is, I think, the most exciting part. Is my internet that shit again?
Man, I would have loved to see your face when you were talking this shit. pretty much.
I made such a good point as well.
Yeah. But labels aren't looking for the next thing. I mean, if you look now, all the hyper techno that gets released, I actually like some of them because it's cool, you know. You have the vocals. No, you didn't. But you have the Oompa, which fits perfectly like it, but it's like we're getting a massive flood of hyper techno tracks right now. Man, it,
can you say hello when you hear this?
How to ruin a good thing.
Yeah. Okay, last question I have from Steve H.
Jopke.
How to cope with fame and scrutiny? I feel that sometimes we ignore the fact that not everything that comes with fame is nice, but just hello.
Hello.
Jesus.
That's a big one. Anyway, I feel
please.
That sometimes we ignore the fact that not everything that comes with fame is nice, such as using your name to scam people or worse. What would you guys suggest to deal with the negative things that come with being famous as an established artist?
I didn't listen at all. Can you please repeat?
What would you guys suggest to deal with the negative things that come with being famous? So I think the question is how can you deal with becoming famous? How do you deal with it as a famous artist?
Yeah, I don't think I'm that famous. I mean, it would be weird if you're like Neymar or Messi. Yeah, you get recognized everywhere. Think guys like Garrix or so. Yeah, it also depends on where you are.
Do you ever get like recognized on the streets
sometimes at airports, but not that much. And but if I walk around on a dance festival, then people will know. But also then you'd be surprised at how many people just would be like, okay. Kan ik typen hier wat ik wil zeggen en dat Ralf het dat zegt? No.
But most people on a party would see you probably think like, who's that boomer with his broken glasses?
Yeah, probably. Or they will go like, I don't know what.
Is that Ralf?
Probably,
is that Ralf? Is that the famous hard dance producer?
For me, I think it's hard when you're like... I mean, we all know the story of Avicii, probably also with him. He was so big. And then that does something with you as a person. I couldn't judge, to be honest.
What I know from it so far, as in what I've learned from over the years, is that being successful does a lot of things with your mental health and with your the way how you look at the world and how it challenges you to look at yourself and other people. But I haven't seen that many successful people coping with it really well. It's really hard. And
it's maybe interesting to tell. I mean, of course, me and Marlon, we have different stories to tell. Mm. We did have some talks when, and it was like, I don't know, quite a while ago. And then you start touring, people pick you up, you sleep in 5-star hotels, people will do everything for you. You will think shit is normal, which is not. We also discussed, which Marlon didn't do, but a lot of the guys, they started flying business and all that kind of shit, you know.
Jay.
And Jay. And then he's muted, right? Nice. And... No, but also Jopke just did it a few times. And but it does something with you because you will think shit is normal. Joey's gone.
No, I'm not gone.
I'm telling you something serious here, man.
No, I'm listening, but Jay's texting that he lost business flight.
No, it's insane. I sleep better there than my own bed. But... the thing is, yeah, it does something with you. You will think you'll just lose a little bit of grip of what is reality. And that's then just us. Then you have way above, you have like the really big guys. And of course, they will look at the world differently. And yeah, if people do shit for you all the time.
Yeah, fucks with your world view.
Yeah. And they don't really do groceries. I mean, fuck.
But it's also like the reason why, one of the reasons why I started with artist coaching is to guide artists along this path with these kind of problems. You know, it's hard to deal with these things by yourself because when you're living your life, like focused on the details, it's hard to see the big picture. And I think what we do mainly in the coaching is zoom out and give you another perspective on your life and look at not all the things you think are normal, or the way how you talk to your friends or how they start talking to you, or everything changes in your life. And it's good to sometimes zoom out on that and have a different perspective on that. I think that really helps.
I couldn't agree more. I still think it's weird that sometimes I talk, well, it just could be the Joey spinning out wisdom bomb show could be. But yeah.
I tend to be here. Yeah, exactly. Those were the questions from Discord. So if you are not part of the Discord yet and you would like to ask Ralph, Jay, or me something, feel free to go into the Discord. The link is in the bio of it's on the website, by the way, and I think it's also in the bio of Instagram. So make sure to go there if you want to. I was thinking for something for next week. I think we're going to experiment with going live on socials while we record this.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't know
if people know, we have no preparation whatsoever, only the questions. And I mean, we just talk and we have lousy connections. And but yeah, we like to do it. And I also like the interaction. So that would be fun. Yeah.
I must
also
say,
I want also to point out something. If I haven't responded to any demos, it's because I didn't like them enough.
That sounds harsh, but... A recurring thing every week.
Yeah, because I actually listened to quite a few of them, and they were not good enough. And that sounds harsh, but I think it's better. And I can take the time to, because I'm actually, I was finishing up when we just started, finishing up a master's of a new upcoming track. And to be honest, I'm pretty busy. I'm doing quite a lot of shit and music, and I cannot give feedback. I just wanted to point it out because sometimes I write back and then they ask for feedback. And dudes, no, I can't do that. Sorry. Maybe when I'm less busy making tracks.
Yeah.
Is that okay to say? Or am now a dickhead? 100%
okay. But it's just funny that you, it's like a weekly thing, like a weekly minute of Ralph blaming people that their music's not good enough.
No, it's not blaming, man. I make fucked up shit all the time and sending out to people, and they say to me, dude, that sucks. And then I'm also the guy who says, what would you do then? And then they just say also to me, dude, I just don't like it. Fuck off and make something new.
I don't have the time. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but that it's sometimes just so plain and simple. You cannot point out certain facts. I do sometimes hear that, okay, you can produce, but this is just not a cool track. And then I sometimes take the time to say that, like, hey, I like the way you produce, but I don't like the track. It's not for us. Could also be that I don't like it and the other guy or girl does like it. But I just wanted to take the stage and to say to everybody, I did listen to you all. Yeah.
Okay. Noted.
Yeah. Please keep on sending because, I'm always on the lookout for a new cool person to do some cool collabs with. And
by the way, now that you're mentioning it, you need to send me your demo email. Or you can just name it, by the way.
Yeah, right? it's just info@basecheckers.com.
Okay, perfect. Because I got questions from people where to send it, so it's info@basecheckers.com. Yeah.
Okay. Should we? I actually don't have my Discord login anymore. But we can maybe also do it like a Discord thing at some point.
Like do a check demos?
Yeah. If there's like we can... we did some demo listening sessions.
We did it before. We can take it back. Like if you're listening to this, let us know if that's something you'd like so we can maybe set it up. Yeah. That would be cool.
But maybe it's better to listen to a lot of demos and just point out the ones we think were really good. Or else I don't want to be harsh live.
True.
That's not okay. I won't be so harsh then. And I think we always should be harsh, because that's how you will get further also.
Well, you should be honest, not necessarily harsh.
Yeah,
but
that's
just like
a better way to say it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And man, I can be honest.
Yeah, you can.
Can you imagine? I have two kids. Well, they will be traumatized. Do you like this drawing, Daddy? Well, what would Michelangelo say?
Back to the drawing board.
Not going to bed until you finish me something good. Ants? These are ants. Those are, how do you say hurricane English?
Yeah, exactly.
What's a hurricane English? Oh, let's find out. I think that's a good one.
Whore. That's weird. No.
What's whore?
Wait, no, wait.
Something different, dude.
Here. Whore? Wait. Haken. Rake. Oh, rake, yeah.
Oh, rake. Oh, yeah. Jopke. Hey.
Nice.
You old raker boy, you.
Rake. Nice. Okay, guys, we're going to close it off. Next week, we'll try to do the live stream so people can tune in and comment on the stream live or watch it back later if they want. If you are listening and now that you think like, I would like to build a successful artist career and I would like to make it sustainable. And those guys and the guys who are listening to actually have some value to add, like you could consider going to artistcoaching.com, .nl. Check our services. So if you're interested, go to artistcoaching.nl.
Can you unmute Jopke for a bit? Maybe he has something to say.
I haven't muted him. He has muted himself.
Oh, what a wise man.
Oh, no. I did it. Sorry. No, he did it himself.
I did it indeed. Horen jullie mij nu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dan is het weer iets minder dan een minuut. A little bit less than a minute. delay. Jesus.
You want to say something, some wise words?
Some ending keynotes?
Yes, it is very important to always follow your heart and not your dreams. Hey.
Nice. Quote. Thanks, guys, for joining. Jay, have a lot of great time in Vietnam.
Thanks.
And we'll be back next week. By the way. Oh, that's the week after. No, nothing's yet.
In 2 weeks.
Okay, see you guys next week. In 2 weeks, we'll be together. Yeah, exactly. Bye.
Bye.